Ayn Rand spoke half-truth. Let's figure out the rest. From Kishore Chandiramani. Ayn Rand was an American philosopher who coined the word objectivism for her philosophical ideas. Her novel Fountainhead was an inspiration for making a film in 1949 with Gary Cooper in the lead role. Her subsequent work, a book titled Atlas Shrugged, fully defined what would become the four tenets of objectivism, that is, reality, reason, which is rationalism, self-interest or independence, and laissez-faire capitalism. Ayn Rand was born in St. Petersburg, Russia, in a middle-class family. Her father owned a pharmacy, which was taken over by the Bolshevik revolutionary groups, and the family, who had enjoyed a decent independent living thus far, had to move in with their relatives and share a small cramped apartment. All high achievers and the brightest people in society were brought down to the level of lower middle class. There was no hope of progress or success. Life was flattened for everyone, and the future looked bleak. The government controlled everything. Even after arriving in America in 1926, she had to struggle a lot to achieve worldly success. And despite being a highly intelligent woman and having ambitions to become a writer, she did small unskilled and semi-skilled jobs, including waiting on tables in various establishments for several years. The thought that she should share the hard-earned rewards of her success, if at all she achieved any worldly success, with others who were not being responsible and productive, and some downright criminals, was abhorrent to her, and it would be to anyone in her situation. Against this backdrop, she developed a philosophy that promoted freedom from government control and taxes, moral value of only pursuing personal happiness, doing only what is rational rather than what our emotions tell us to do. The basic tenets of our objectivist philosophy are: number one, one's own happiness is the moral purpose of one's life. Number two, man exists for his own sake. Number three, if someone is poor, it's their fault mostly, exceptions being a victim of misfortunes. Number four, reason is the only absolute. We should only do what is rational and not what our emotions or scriptures tell us. It's immoral to be guided by one's emotions. One should not act because one felt like it. Feelings are not guides to reality. They are consequences of thoughts and actions. Number five, God does not exist. Religion and faith can be dangerous. Religion is a rudimentary form of thinking that stops people from thinking. Sixth, everything should be privatized. Government should hold no property apart from the buildings they operate from, akin to right-wing libertarianism. 7. Governments should not have too much power. They should take care of only the military, police, courts, not much else. Governments should not collect taxes. Welfare state is an insult to people. 8. Altruism is sickness of mind. Happiness does not come from making others happy. one should not feel obliged to help others, because that is a bondage. Charity should not be a duty. Helping others is okay, but only if there is accidental misfortune or mutual contract. 9. Value of self-esteem. Respect your own mind and possibilities of being. Be independent. Don't be coercive to anyone. And respect others' rights to freedom and a good life. Objectivist philosophy has seen a revival in recent years in the Western world. Perhaps a response to rapid globalization, for which people and the societies were not ready. We have seen things such as Brexit, Europe sealing off its borders to non-Europeans, electing far-right ideology governments in various countries, and trade tariffs on international business, rise of right-wing thinking, and more recently, countries wanting to be self-reliant and independent in every feasible way. The championing of selfishness and callousness to the unfortunate find echoes in our contemporary capitalist world. Silicon Valley bosses find her philosophy quite attractive and helpful in justifying their greed. The logic for some of these social changes are quite strong, but I have chosen not to dwell on them here. Ayn Rand is right that the individual should not be subjugated to the group and made to sacrifice for the common good to such an extent that they can't even see themselves as individuals, only as members of a group. She described this phenomenon as collectivism. I came across Ayn Rand's philosophy in my late teens, but chose to ignore her ideas, thinking they were harmless. But looking back, I think it was important that society understood such ideas and refuted them. Ignoring them will not make them go away, like radicalization. Her ideas can cause enormous damage to individuals' lives and countries if not understood in the right perspective. Her ideas, although helping people achieve worldly success, are stopping them from leading a happy, fulfilled, deeply connected and contented life. Such ideas can destroy stable relationships and any chances of people connecting with their higher divine selves. My guess is Ayn Rand and her followers haven't lived in poor third world countries where people don't pay taxes, governments have no control, all the money and power is in private hands. Every development is funded by private industry. Inequality is stark and massive. Governments have no money for infrastructure development, and citizens are in the grips of feudalism. Exactly what objectivism is striving to achieve. In such countries, altruism and feelings of brotherhood are a redeeming feature for people living in the lower strata of society. If one lives in such societies and, like Ayn Rand, is opposed to even charity and altruism, the only option left would be to let people quietly die out of hunger, or let them be exploited by thugs who have money. Recent corona epidemic has laid bare the ugliness in these societies, where governments had no money to even provide 2 square meals to its people who are thrown off work. If lives are being saved in those countries, it's because of charity and altruism. Lockdown has proved that the governments that were not collecting taxes were ill-prepared to help the unfortunate. People would have died in the absence of charity contributions from the wealthy. One should either believe in governments collecting taxes or altruism of the rich. If one does not, what would be their model for survival of human race? I'm imagining Ayn Rand would have said, make every human being productive. And that also, following her philosophy without coercion, it's not easy to achieve that. We know that reward-punishment system is already in place in our society, and it's not enough for people to get motivated. The recent corona epidemic has been a wake-up call for the Indian government, who is now putting forward proposals to increase taxes and create a mini welfare state by giving away no-interest loans liberally to people to start businesses. It does not matter which model of philosophy, which society, which political system, which moral values or societal mores, and which era of human history we are talking about. The final dictum remains the same. It all boils down to just one thing, just one insight, and that is, it is the rich who are paying for the poor, employed paying for the unemployed, young paying for the old and children, healthy paying for the sick, responsible citizens paying for the irresponsible, hard-working people paying for the lazy ones, bright minds are paying for the imbeciles, sane people are paying for the insane, law-abiding citizens are paying for the criminals and prisoners, fortunate are paying for the unfortunate. Whether this happens under coercion or voluntarily, whether through governments collecting taxes or creating welfare state or through altruism of rich people in society. Ayn Rand has said we should not help those who have brought unhappiness or problems upon themselves because of their irresponsible behavior and should be willing to help only those who have become victims of misfortune or calamity. Being a psychiatrist, I know for certain that this distinction is not that easy to make. Mahatma Gandhi used to say, all those who suffer from physical illnesses should be held responsible for leading an unhealthy lifestyle and for their suffering. And those we have put in jails and correction facilities deserve our love and affection and care, which was denied to them as children. Life seems unfair if we look at the cross-section of our lives at any given point in time. We start seeing fairness if we take a longitudinal view of human life. Selfishness and altruism are two pieces of a jigsaw puzzle and not mutually exclusive. They play distinct roles at various times in one's life.